Hello, welcome to the Self-Learning Platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 10, Women's Movement. And we start with topic equality or difference. While the entire edifice of social movement in India, which wanted to change the status of women, has been raised on the principle of equality. By the 80s, there were realization that even equality was not enough to protect women from being victims of violence perpetrated on her solely because she happened to be a woman. This was in spite of the fact that in many cases she was equal or superior to the male proprietor in status, education, or other indicators. Women were the target of rape simply because she was woman, biologically different from men. It soon became a major theoretical as well as organizational point of debate as to where should the movement place their focus, that is on equality or difference. The case of the rape of a tribal girl, Mathura, in 1987 by the police, and despite a campaign and fought by many prominent legal personalities, the judiciary was unmoved and declared Mathura a woman of easy virtue. This created uproar and made the women's group realize the insensitivity that the state apparatus has on women's issue. Similarly, the Dorie death, primarily among the affluent middle class households, too, was a shattering blow to some of the earlier held assumptions. That is, the development process by raising the status of woman would help her practice her democratic rights fully. The same development was now seen to be capable of making life unsafe for her. By the time the census of 2001 was published, the increasing decline in the sex ratio in the most developed states of India pointed to the same phenomena. It was also realized that while it has been pursuing the developmental agenda ostensibly for the betterment of women, the state at times was amenable to the forces of patriarchy. This had further implications. Thus, the feminist and women activists have come to accept that women for democratization has to be strengthened so as to strengthen the force behind the demand for better and safer daily lives of women. The need for a strong women's movement got further underlined in the age of globalization, where new forces of violence were unleashed on women. Issues of not only women's right in the democratic system, but also the question of overall equality in a situation when the state is withdrawing is not merely a crucial political issues that the women's movement had to solve. Now let us move to the next point, new social movements. By the 80s, the overall scenario in India and the world created a situation where the women's movement could not remain outside the domain of the issues that have led to the worldwide movement regarding ecology, environment, and issues of sustainability in the face of a new globalized economy. Very soon, we have movements in the different parts of the country which have voiced the concerns of the day-to-day life and survival in the face of the new forces of economy and politics. While the national politics seems to retreat into the caste and community and costly and corrupt electoral practices, a large number of movements from different parts of the country saw the coming of people from the local communities and villages. One of the chief characteristics of these movements has been the prominent role, including that of the leadership, being played by women. Survival and dignity seems to have become the twin issues which these movements have infused to the already existing issues of equality and justice. Participation of a large number of women in the movement for the rights of labor and the tribals in Chhattisgarh by the Chhattisgarh Mukti Morcha in the Narmada Bachao Andolan and the agitation against the authorities in Banwari Devi case, where the authorities were trying to shield the oppressors, and recently in the agitation for rights to information, has shown that the social movements have been trying to fuse the issues of politics and society at a large canvas and convert them into struggles for a more democratic and just society. Interestingly enough, a careful perusal of the voices from these movements would show that women in these movements have often questioned the validity of the representative nature of our democracy. While they have tried to forge alliances with similar movements across the country and even the world, they have at the same time demanded from the state to change its electoral system to have more participation from the women. All these were taking place quite close to the time when a large number of new forces were getting unleashed on the ground without adequately preparing the population for it. The women without the adequate even elementary education and primary health care facilities had to face these forces. There were also indications that the state, which till now declared that it would take care of the vulnerable sections, has begun to waver and withdraw. It is these circumstances that one found women in the forefront of many of the new movements. The results of these new mobilizations is that the woman found herself face to face with extremely powerful combination of patriarchal structure entrenched within the state apparatus. In Meghalaya and Kashmir, for example, it is the state legislatures which tried to debar women from any inheritance if she marries outside the religiously or otherwise defined community boundaries. This was an attempted check on women's right to take decisions on her own on crucial issues such as on choosing her own partner. In a world, caste, community, and state boundaries have been brought to suppress the mobility of the woman. The women's movement in the meantime also tried to fight against the structures of community and tradition, as they have been found quite often to be impediments in the way to equality and freedom. This was evident in the case of two powerful movements in the 1980s, one against the issue of dowry and another in the famous case of Roop Kanwar, in which the latter was being burnt as sati. In cases of the dowry deaths, tradition has been forwarded, whereas in the latter case, a young Rajput lady was made to die along with her husband. The opposition by feminists and other groups of the sati and its later glorification was countered by the powerful combination of caste and community politics, which defended not only the act of sati but also those who forced Roop Kanwar to the funeral pray. However, in the process, there were awareness of the new forces, both which supported the women's cause of equality and those opposed came face to face and was an educating for the women's movement. Now, summary of the unit. To sum up, like several other social groups, Indian women also have been involved in social movements before and after independence. Placed in the discriminatory position in all aspects of society, undergoing multiple sufferings, the women and their problems became a matter of concern of the social reformers in the pre-independence. In the post-independence period, a large number of grassroots organizations and civil society organizations, organizations of different ideological persuasions, took up the women's issue. Though women's issue have occupied significant place in the agenda of policy makers, they are still neglected on the whole. Now we want to wind up this lecture and we have come to the end of the unit. Thank you so much for your attention.